like duty. And so thank you so much for participating in that. Jeannie's not here today, but I just wanted to say I appreciate Jeannie keeping us abreast of everything. If you're on the prayer team, you are getting emails practically daily of things that we're needing to pray for. And I just want to say Jeannie's doing an outstanding job of giving us abreast of what's going on and how we can pray. And if you're not on the prayer team and you would like to be, there is your communication card. And I should mention this probably every week, but I forget. But on your communication card, there's a place where you can put prayer concerns at the end. And actually, if we don't have your address, if we don't have your phone numbers, if we don't have your email address, it would be good if we had that so that we can allow you to know what's going on here in the church. Again, if you want to be a part of the prayer ministry team, you'll need to check the box at the bottom where it says, where does it say it? I guess somewhere. Just put on there, I want to be part of the prayer team. Okay. There used to be something on there, and I don't see it right now. You find it? Okay. At the very bottom, my card has been cut off, so it's not on there. Anyway, if you want to be a prayer part of that prayer ministry, yep, check that box. I see it now. It's on the back page under action steps. Okay. So we've been sharing about in the last several weeks your identity in Christ. And it's very important that you understand what your identity is. In your chair, there is a small piece of paper that looks like this that's got like 16 markers regarding your identity. And I would just, before we begin this morning, I would like for us to read those together. If you would, did you find it? Okay. So let's start. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a priest of the Most High. I am special and precious to Father. I have been chosen from the foundation of the world by Father. I've been adopted into His family. I'm accepted by Father. I'm an heir of heavenly blessings. My body is home to the Holy Spirit. I am alive. I am loved by the Father. I am seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. I have God's grace and favor upon my life. I am God's masterpiece created for good works. Amen. It would be important if you could kind of get this in your soul, in your spirit, because a lot of times the way we think is not what God thinks about us. The way we think about ourselves is often negative and often not what God would have us think about ourselves. And so I would encourage you, and of course, you know, and let me just say, all of us have done some things that we're not proud of. Amen? Okay. And a lot of times we think about those things and we identify ourselves because of what we've done rather than identifying ourselves because of what Jesus has done for us. And so I'm encouraging you to begin to have a mind transformation, just like Grandy had a body transformation. You have a mind transformation about who you are in Christ. And begin today, if you haven't already started, because it's vital for you to be able to accomplish what God would have you to accomplish if you know who you are in Christ. So Scripture says, and I know, I know there are some people staying away because we've got another resurgence of the coronavirus that has cropped up here in Tillamook. And I understand if you feel vulnerable, please stay home. Watch through Zoom. I know, and I've been at home before and tried to watch. It's different watching at home than it is being in person. There's something about people of God gathering together that causes the Spirit to move in a way perhaps that's not able. He's not able to do so at home. But anyway, when you're able, I want to encourage you to come back to church. To be a part of the body. Scripture says, as you see the end approaching, do you see the end approaching? Boy, it sure seems like it, right? I don't. And nothing has ever been as tumultuous in our world as it is right now. And not just in the United States, but all over the world. And Scripture says, as you see the end approaching, as you see the day approaching, make sure you gather together. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Today, we're starting a new series on, for heaven's sake, what are you doing? For heaven's sake, what are you doing? This is part one of a several-part series. I never know how long they're going to go. So anyway, you'll know when we end, but I never know how long they're going to go. So part one, and we're going to be primarily focusing on spiritual gifts mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, mentioned in Romans chapter 12, mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. Today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And begin looking at some things that Paul is sharing with the Corinthian church. I might want to mention that the culture of the Christian of the church in Corinth was a very secular culture, and so they began implementing some spiritual gifts and began. Have you ever seen anybody operate in spiritual gifts that were like put you off? Okay. And like they were proud of the certain gifts they had. And what that was kind of like the culture of the Corinthian church. And so there's a lot of correction that Paul is bringing as he talks to the Corinthian church. So we're going to begin reading with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're only going to read verses 1 through 6 and address those issues that Paul talks about in this passage. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, Scripture says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Lord, I too come before you today, and Lord, I just want to add or agree with the prayer that Tom prayed regarding the church in Afghanistan. Lord, we have no idea what it would be like to run for our lives, to go into hiding. To be on survival mode 24/7. We don't know what that's like. And so, Lord, I want to lift them up to you. And, Lord, you've given them specific gifts for the body, just as you've given us. And Lord, I pray that they would utilize those gifts. And, Lord, that your Spirit would flow through them. That, Lord, you would guide them, you would help them, that you would guard them, that you would show them what to do. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that fear would not rule their lives. Your Holy Spirit would. Lord, I pray that they would be bold and they would be fearless for the cause of Christ, even in this time. Lord, bless us today with your Spirit. Help us to glean from you the things that you have for us so that we may be able to be the people that you've called us to be. And we ask these things in the Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So Paul tells this church at Corinth, the first thing he says is, regarding the spiritual gifts. These are really important. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, because these things regarding spiritual gifts is vitally important. I believe the Holy Spirit is telling us here at Life Change this very thing. This deal regarding spiritual gifts is really important, so I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misuse them or abuse them or neglect them. I want you to understand about spiritual gifts and use them to build the kingdom. As your pastor, I want you to understand spiritual gifts. It's very important. A lot of people, I believe, are not actively involved in kingdom work because they don't know what their spiritual gift is. And so as we go through this series, I'm praying for you that God will enlighten you and help you to understand what your spiritual gift is. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Paul spends a lot of time on spiritual gifts. And so we're going to spend some time on it as well. So, but first I want to talk about the gift, about the giver of the gift, because oftentimes what we do is we begin to look for the gift and forget about the giver. Okay. And what I want to encourage you to do is begin looking at the giver. If you only look at the gift only and try to embrace the gift without looking at the giver, sometimes you will miss the giver of the gift. And you will put so much emphasis on the gift that the giver is not in the place that he ought to be. However, if we begin looking at the giver of the gifts, you're not going to miss your gift. Okay? If you begin to focus on him and begin to focus on the giver, and I think that's why Paul says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are differences of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. So who is the giver of the gifts? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three of them are active in giving gifts to us. Evidently, it was important to God the Father that these gifts be given. Evidently, it was important for God the Son, to God the Son, that these gifts be given. And it was very important to the Holy Spirit that these gifts be given. So we read a few weeks ago about God has designed for us a work from the foundation of the world. So even before, I'm assuming, from the foundation of the world, the Lord said to each other, when the church begins, we're going to give them gifts so that the church will be built up. And so that's what we're looking at, is things that have happened before the foundation of the world. God called you at this time for this season in this place. I was talking to someone this week, and, you know, with all of the turmoil and everything going on, and I said, isn't it exciting that God has chosen us to be here at this time? Isn't that exciting that we could have been born any time in history, and he chose us to be here for this season, and he has given you the gifts we need for this season in our life? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So the first gift I want to look at this morning is the gift of the Spirit. May not get to the gifts of the Spirit today, but at first I want to talk about the gift of the Spirit, because he is a very important gift to us. The Holy Spirit was promised In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, scripture says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So say, endued with power. Where does the power come from? From God, from on high. That word power is actually, in Greek, it's called dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. Okay. And so what we're talking about is dynamite power. And Jesus was telling his disciples, go to Jerusalem and you wait there because God has made a promise to you. You wait there until this power comes upon you. Now, of course, we know now he was talking about the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1:8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power," say power. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive dynamite power. Now, you may not feel it, but as you begin to walk in it and walk in your gift, and as the Lord begins to minister through you, you're going to experience some things that are beyond your imagination. You can't even understand how God wants to use you for his ministry. And it's not your power, right? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I want you, and I'm going to give you a gift. And the gift is the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, did that ever happen? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Scripture says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly," and we're talking about 120 people, 120 believers at the time of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's all. In the entire world, 120 believers. These 120 were in one place. They were in one accord. Now, it's hard to have 120 people in one accord. Okay? Sometimes it's hard to have two people in one accord. But these 120 were gathered together, and Jesus had told them, I want you to gather together, and I want you to stay there. And just keep on staying there, and keep on staying there until the power comes upon you. Now, they didn't have no clue what that meant. They had no idea what Jesus was talking about. But all they knew was that we've got to gather together, and we've got to stay together until something happens. So, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were gathered together, one place, one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this day of Pentecost is 50 days after the resurrection. The disciples, the 120, we call them all disciples now. They were all followers of Jesus. The 120 had been together in one room for 10 days and 10 nights, gathered together, waiting for the promise of the Father. Now, I want you to understand that this day of Pentecost is a one-time occurrence. I wish it would be really neat to capture that again, 120 of us to be here, be in one accord. And I know we are in one accord. We have loved one another. It would be really neat to be here and that same experience happen. It's probably not going to happen again. Actually, the Holy Spirit fell on the temple in Solomon's day in a way that was very palatable. And people saw it and experienced it. The Spirit came down on the Mount of where Moses was, Mount Sinai. Spirit came down there in a palatable way. The Spirit came down in the book of Acts on the believers in a palatable way. It's probably not going to happen that way again. However, if you are a believer, you may not have seen tongues of fire falling on your head. You may not have felt a lot. But if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, this has happened to you. Look, if you remember, there was a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 that we visited a few weeks ago, verses 13 and 14. And it says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." Now, what this scripture says is that when you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when you believed in him, turned from your sins, and turned to God, that the Holy Spirit came into your life and sealed you as a child of God. Okay? I remember that occasion in my life. It's like it was yesterday. It's very vivid in my mind what took place. And I remember the weight of sin being lifted off of me. And I remember the peace of God filling me. I did not realize at the time, but that was the Spirit of God that had come into me, sealing me as a child of God. Okay? So, Scripture says, whether you feel anything or not, some people are really closed down emotionally and they may not feel a lot. But if you believed, then you were filled with the Spirit. I was asking a young man this week. I said, I think he was 15 years old. I said, tell me about your faith journey. And he said, I saw all my friends going ways of the world. Not the words he used. He said they were making choices that were not good choices, not moral choices. And at that time, I said, I'm not going to go that direction. And I made a decision in my heart that I'm going to follow Jesus. Okay? Now, knowing what I know about Scripture, when he made that decision, the Holy Spirit sealed him. Okay? He said, I was 10 years old when I made that decision. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? When you make that decision, and it's like, you know, some people, like, one day they're walking with Jesus, but then the next day they're not. One day, oh, I think I'm going to go this way. No, I think I'm going to go this way. Scripture says that that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. So, what I understand that scripture to say is that if you're waffling on whether or not you're going to follow Christ, you're not going to get anything from the Lord. Only when you make your decision, regardless of what goes on in the culture, regardless of what my friends are doing, regardless of anything else, regardless if the world falls and caves in on me, and I'm just going to follow Christ. Because he's my only hope. And so I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to put him first in my life. I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to go with God. When you do that, the Holy Spirit seals you, claiming you as God's very own. So every believer, and I'm careful when I say believer, because some people believe in their head and not in their heart. So maybe I should say every follower of Christ has been sealed with the Holy Spirit. So another thing the Holy Spirit does is he guides us into all truth. Say, guides us. In John 16, 13, Scripture says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Say, all truth. Now, that doesn't say some truth. It doesn't say most truth. It says all truth. The Holy Spirit is given to us to guide us into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. So whatever he hears from Father, he will reveal to us as God's children. Okay. Now, look with me at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You need to have this in your memory bank. Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So every day you should wake up and you should say, Father, today is your day. Today I'm your servant. Show me what to do about whatever decisions you need to make that day. Should I go to church today? Father, I'm not feeling good. Should I stay home? Should I go see a doctor? I need to make an appointment. Some of you, myself included, have not been vaccinated for one reason or another. Okay? There's a lot of confusion regarding vaccines. And a lot of conflicting information. I'm not opposed to the vaccine for any reason, because I don't know truth about it. I don't know the truth about it. And I can listen to some doctors and they say, you've got to have the vaccine. And other doctors whom I trust say, I'm warning you, do not get the vaccine. Okay? So who's telling truth? Confusing. So let me ask you a question. Who's the great physician? Well, let me ask you. Do you think if you woke up and said, Lord, should I get the vaccine today? What do you think he'd say? You don't know because you hadn't asked him. Okay, and so what all I'm saying is we can't base our decisions on the information that we receive from the outside world. We need to develop such a sensitive spirit that we can ask Father, who's the great physician, what should I do? And then do what he says. Okay. So I'm I'm unvaccinated. Until the Spirit tells me to get vaccinated, I'm going to remain unvaccinated. Okay? Just let you know. But let me just say this. Sometimes there's some fear that creeps up. Should I get vaccinated? Should not get vaccinated? And then I say, that's not my decision. I don't have to make that decision. All I have to do is be obedient. Right? And what your decision is between you and the Lord, that's between you and Him. And I'm not going to judge you either way. And I hope you don't judge me. Okay? We're not going to have a falling out over whether or not you're vaccinated or not. We're not going to have a falling out whether you wear a mask or not. Okay? You do what you and the Lord have worked out between you and Him. You are not my servant. So therefore, I can't judge you. You're His servant. And I'm not your servant. Well, I kind of am. Yeah. So, all I'm saying is, Father wants to guide you in all decisions. Now, I want you to hear me clearly. I'm not saying that you should never go to a doctor. That's not what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, I've got an appointment next week. Okay? So don't hear me say, don't go to the doctor. God has put doctors here for a reason. And we need, when He directs us to one, we need to go see him or her. Okay? All I want you to do is do what God tells you to do. How many of you have ever made a bad decision because you didn't consult with the Lord? Okay? That's most of us. Now, do you think that God was lying when He said, I will guide you into all truth? Sometimes we think we're smart enough to make decisions on our own, right? And we don't need His counsel. We got this. We're all knowing. Honestly, I'm as dumb as a rock when it comes to making decisions. That's why I have to depend on Him. Because I make horrible decisions when I don't consult with Him. Somebody said this week, man, somebody told me that you were very wise. I'm thinking, that's only because I know who to go to for counsel. I'm not real smart when I don't go to the right person for counsel. If there's any wisdom, it comes from Him and not from me. So here's what we have to do. We have to trust God to guide us. Trust in the Lord. With all your heart, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So trust Him to guide you. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's trust. You've got to trust Him. You have to trust Him. If you can't trust Him to guide you, then you're not trusting Him. Oftentimes we trust Him for our salvation, but we can't trust Him to guide us. So, number two, do not trust yourself to make the best decisions regarding your life. Okay? Can't trust yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding. Third thing, seek God's will concerning most things. Oh, I'm sorry. All things. Seek God's will concerning all things. The promise is, if you do this, he will direct your path. That's a promise. If you seek him, he will direct your path. So that means, listen, when you ask him, you're going to have to kind of be silent a minute and listen. I love people's prayers. I love to hear them pray. But sometimes we can say too much and not listen enough. God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. So maybe you should listen twice as much as you speak. Okay? I want to encourage you, get in the habit of listening. Asking simple questions and listening. I ask yes and no questions. I was talking to the Lord the other day. And I've got some stuff in case I get some symptoms of the coronavirus. I've got some stuff. And I asked the Lord, Lord, can I depend on this stuff? And I'm waiting because I'm usually asking yes and no questions. And this is what he said. Pause. I'm like, and he said, you can depend on me. Wow. So when the time comes, a lot of times we're in the future. We're fearing the future. What's going to happen to us in the future? That, guess what? When the future comes, you can ask God, what do I do about this day? And guess what he's going to do? He's going to tell you. Do you think he's going to tell you what to do today, a year, that's something that's going to happen a year from now? He says in Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough trouble of the day to worry about. Well, thank you, Lord. But a lot of times we're future tripping over things that haven't happened and may not ever happen. But I know God, that he's going to be in the future just like he is in the day. And whatever you need next year, or the following year, whatever decisions you need to make, God will help you make those decisions if you ask him. Okay? Don't lean on your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. That's a promise. But here's then it comes back to trust. After you hear the word of the Lord, are you going to do what he says? That's huge. See, obedience shows us how much we trust him. Obedience on our part shows the Lord how much we trust him. Church, I'm encouraging you. The Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to direct you. That's his desire, is to guide you, to direct you, to show you. Be dumb as a rock and just begin asking God, but just pray and pretend you don't have all wisdom. Okay, just pretend that. And ask the Lord, what do I do about this? And then let's say something you've worried about and you're praying and the Lord gives you an answer and there's peace. Whew, thank you, Lord. The next day, and it happens to me, the worry begins to come again. And did you know you can keep asking God? And he can let you know again. He will secure that in your heart. Thank you, Lord. And then the peace comes and you're able to walk in it. Next week it happens again. Lord, should I? Shouldn't I? What should I do? Da, 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 da. And he'll give you the words you need to hear. at the time you need to hear them, if you're willing to listen. Okay, I know we didn't get into the gifts today, but we needed to set the stage, because if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, it's going to be hard for you to know what you're supposed to do, even with the giftings you have. Okay? Pardon? Firm foundation. So I want you to take this home with you. I want you to begin to meditate on what you've heard today. It's vital for your Christian walk that you learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit and learn how to follow Him. If you can get that, learn how to walk in the Spirit. Oftentimes we walk in fear. Oftentimes we walk in anger. Oftentimes we walk in our own emotions. And if a volatile emotional earthquake comes, we walk in that a while. Okay? But that is not the Holy Spirit. It may be a different spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. I know it did a lot of teaching today, and hopefully you can grab something and take home with you. So, Lord, I thank you for this congregation. Lord, I look out over the crowd.